The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came to the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. But whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him, the word that I spoke. It will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me, the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. And so now, what I say, the Father has told me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Just a word about the first reading in terms of the structure of the church, you know, what with the Pope visiting right now and all, we're focusing a little bit on what the Lord has established in terms of a structure for his church. And you'll notice here that Barnabas and Saul, who are not of the rank apostle yet, or in any way what we might call in modern terms a bishop, have been engaged in some kind of relief mission. They've returned to Jerusalem to report, because there is accountability in the church, right? There's accountability, and they render an account. Now but notice again what happens. They go back to Antioch, and the Lord indicates to the community through some process of discernment that Barnabas and Paul are to be set aside, or to set them apart for a mission, you know, to go to the Gentiles. And the so what they do is, after fasting and prayer, they lay hands on them. And that's ordination. That's what that is. Laying out of hands is the rite of ordination. And with this ordination rite, they go forth. Now, I want you to note that they have attained to a new status. They are now, it would seem from what we learn later, not just appointed elders, but in fact are appointed apostles, which for the modern word we use, bishop, alright? And they begin their first missionary journey. But again, notice they didn't just do this on their own. See, I want to emphasize this. There was discernment, there was prayer, there was the laying on of hands, the ordination. Notice again, in this gospel, there's accountability, that is to say, and once again, after this first missionary journey, they're going to return to Antioch and report to the church. Because again, in the church, there needs to be accountability, there needs to be authority, and there needs to be appointment. And there's just, you know, so this is not some free-for-all, I've had this vision from Jesus, and I'm going to go do my thing. There is a way to go about this in the church. Again, authority, appointment, and ordination are all important here. So again, I just want to say that by way of observation. some people critique the church for being so structured and hierarchical and all of this. But again, just notice this here at the beginning. All right, this is biblical now. This is not just some, you know, some modern invention or what have you. This goes right back to the beginning. And so, again, it's very important for us to see that our church is structured and built not merely in some arbitrary way, and we do not act in an arbitrary way, but rather we follow biblical norms, and we do expect some discernment, accountability, we do expect appointment before people just go off and do their own thing, all right? Particularly in some sort of a solemn way. So if you've got an answer to the pastor, well, just teasing you there. But all right. Now, another word then about the gospel. This one particular line just jumps out at me. The Lord simply says this, I know that God's commandment is eternal life. Notice, it doesn't say that God's commandment will bring eternal life. It doesn't say it will cause eternal life. It says it is eternal life. Now, I've said to you who follow my preaching here in daily mass, I've certainly said this to you before, that eternal life does not just mean to go somewhere and live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's not the vision of this word eternal in the Bible. Aeon, the Greek word aeon, doesn't just refer to the length of life, but to the fullness of life. To become fully alive, you see. So that I don't just go to live forever in my present unseemly state, but rather I go one day to heaven to become fully alive with God forever, you see. Right now, are we fully alive? Well, did you just have to wake up from sleep or what? You know, I mean, we're a little groggy. We struggle. We sometimes feel more dead than alive in this life. But again, I want to say this to you, that eternal life shouldn't wait only for heaven. Eternal life does begin now. And I will say this, and I've said this to you again before, that, look, I am more alive today spiritually. I'm more joyful and more serene and more confident. I have more energy and so on, spiritually speaking, because of what the Lord is doing in my life. You see, I am experiencing already the fruits of eternal life, and I thank God for it. I don't boast to you. I simply say that God's been good to me. And so we shouldn't just say that eternal life waits till after we die. It begins now. And this is where I think the statement comes in, that his commandment is eternal life. That is to say that to follow the ways, the commandments of the Lord is not burdensome ultimately. I'm not going to say it's always easy, but it gives life. You see, the wages of sin is death. Okay, that's clear enough from what we read elsewhere in Scripture in St. Paul. The wages of sin is death. But the Lord came in order to give us joy and to give us life, and that we might have that life more abundantly. And the keeping of the commandments brings joy. I want to first of all say that following the commandments makes my life a lot simpler. All right. I mean, it's complicated to get all involved in sin. It just is. And it's you're doing this, running here, running there, paying off lawsuits, your child support here, child support there, whatever's going on in people's lives. But it's a pretty complicated life, frankly. And so first of all, my life is simpler and I have more energy for other things. But secondly, again, I just want to say to you that it's been my experience, and I hope yours too, that the keeping of the commandments gives life. Brings joy, helps us to sleep the sleep of the just, and our life is not without burdens, but it is far less burdensome than serving the devil. And I can say this by experience. So, the commandment, the ways of the commandments do not cause eternal life. They are eternal life. They are God's way of bringing us fully alive, you see. Whoever sins is a slave to sin, says Jesus. So who is truly free? The one who has the power, by God's grace, to live and keep the commandments. That is a person who is more and more fully alive. Amen.